Praise the Lord. You know, I very seldom talk to Katrina about what songs we're going to do. I find out typically just about the time that everybody else does what songs she has picked out. And I'm amazed many times at how one of the songs will tie in with the message. The last song we sang this morning, Give Thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. And my message today is why we should be thankful. Why we should be thankful. Most of my scripture reading today is going to be from the Complete Jewish Bible, but you can follow along in the Bible that you have there. Psalms chapter 100, verses 4 and 5. Again, that's Psalms chapter 100, verses 4 and 5. And it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courtyards with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For Adonai is good. His grace continues forever. And his faithfulness lasts through all generations. Think about that. His faithfulness lasts through all generations. As I was beginning to prepare this message and type my notes in the computer, generally my routine is I sit down and I bring up the Word documents and I have them saved under a section called Sermon Notes. And I go to that and I pick a previous message, click on it, bring it up, and I use that template. I erase those notes typically and start something new and save as a new name. And many times I just happen to pick on one at random and bring it up. And last night as I was doing so, I was looking over and I scanned on one and I clicked on the notes and it brought up. And that title was, Be Thankful. And so I kind of read down the notes then just to see what it had to say. And I noticed that this notes were for the Sunday after Thanksgiving in 2004. So I want to share with you just a few things that were on the first few paragraphs of those notes. And this is what it said. On this past Thursday, we celebrated the Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States. We have so many things to be thankful for. For Mary and I, it was a special day and week. Last Sunday, for the first time in a number of years, we had both of our daughters and sons-in-law with us for Thanksgiving, along with our grandson and other family members. Last Sunday, my son-in-law ministered here, and it was the very first time I've had the privilege of having him minister in a church where I was pastor, and special music was presented. On Thursday evening, we had the opportunity for Tim to minister to my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. And also today, I'm honored to have Nathan and Pamela with us. That's Mary's brother and sister-in-law. And these are just a few of the things that we have to be thankful for. And I was thinking back about that because, you see, the sister-in-law that I was mentioning that Tim had the opportunity to minister to 6 years ago is the one that just recently passed away. Tim had a chance to witness to her and her husband. Many things have changed during that time. Mary and I have both lost family members. As I said, the most recent being her sister. We've also seen some members of this church go home to be with the Lord, the most recent being Brother Ray Ellis. But we've also had some joyous things happen during that time because, as I said in the notes here, our grandson was with us. We've gained a grandson during that time, little Sammy. And we're always happy to have him with us. And, of course, that grandson of 6 years ago has grown up to be taller than I am and now runs the sound system for us and does a good job at doing it. During that time, we've also seen some new folks come into the church, and we've seen some of the other folks leave. because of jobs or moves of various types. Some just felt it was time to move on. There have been some good times, and there have been some hard times. And I'll be honest, there's been some times that I didn't know if we were going to be able to pay the rent here at the church the next month. But God has been faithful. God has been good. And even when it looked like the bank account was empty, God provided. You see, I made an agreement with the landlord a number of years ago when we first signed the papers. And when we can't pay the rent, we'll close and move out. Because I'm not going to run up a big bill and owe you a lot of money. I believe that as the church, we should pay our bills. And if we can't pay it, we'll move on. And I will guarantee you that you will get that last month's rent. Well, it's almost come to that place a couple of times. But you know what? God has been faithful. The money has come in. And many times it's been from sources outside this church that the money has come. Well, let's take a look at what God's Word has to say about being thankful. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, in this case we'll read from the King James Version. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that same verse in the complete Jewish Bible reads, always give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Giving thanks for all things. Now, I have to admit, that's a hard one to swallow sometimes. Giving thanks for all things. It's hard to give thanks when you have a flat on the interstate. Traffic is whizzing by and nobody wants to stop and help you. And it's tough to give thanks for that flat tire. It's tough to give thanks when the car won't start in the morning. It's tough to give thanks when things are going wrong. How many of you said, thank you, Lord, when your boss called you in the office and said you're fired? I doubt any of us have ever done that. You know, because we're losing our job. We're losing that paycheck. We're losing that source of income that we need to provide for our family. So it's tough to give thanks. But how many times when something like that has occurred, that God has stepped in and He's either brought you to a better job or He's brought something else that's been to your benefit. He's moved you on for one reason or another. And I know there's a lot of times that we grumble and complain. And I know I'm one of them that does that sometimes. Things don't go my way. You know, we're all like that, really. At some point, we grumble, we complain if things don't go our way. But the Bible tells us we need to give thanks. And we need to start really, I think, paying more attention to what that scripture has to say. Give thanks, because if we give thanks to God, God is going to take care of us. He's watching out for us. We talk about people watching out for one another and them saying, I have your back, which means I'm looking out for you. God's got our back. He's looking out for us. He's going to take care of us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, that is, everything you do or say, do in the name of Lord Yeshua, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Everything you do or say, do it in the name of the Lord. Mary tells me all the time that her job, she has to do it. She feels driven to do it as unto God. I'm doing this job as unto God. And even though she may have to put up with some stuff that she really doesn't want to put up with, she says, I'm doing it because I'm doing it unto God. And I want people to know that I'm trying to help them and that I'm trying to do things the right way. And even though I may have to put a little more effort into it, I'm doing my best to show that I'm doing it unto God. I'm doing my best as if I'm doing it for God, not for man, but for God. And I know a lot of times it's easy at our jobs even, and we grumble about our job. But how many are thankful you got a job to go to? You may not necessarily be happy with everything that goes on, but you got a job to go to. Be thankful for that. And do that job to the best of your ability. And I see a lot of people that they go to work and they're there. They're a body collecting a paycheck. And that's really all they care about. We need to do that job as unto the Lord. And you know what? When we do it that way, I believe God's going to take care of us. Mary and I have celebrated last year our 43rd, I think it was 43rd wedding anniversary. Now we're going to start counting them in decades, I think. Anyway, 43 years. And we've gone through some hard times during that time. And we've gone through some times when we had, at the end of the month, we had maybe a dime. But God took care of us. God was watching out for us. Here's something that a lot of people don't think about, maybe. It's your service unto God. In the Old Testament, the priests did their service in the temple. And we sometimes look at that today as the minister, the pastor, does his service to God in the church. And, you know, we think, well, he's the one that does this, this, and this. But what about us as individuals? And I have to include the pastors in there as well, because it's more than them just getting up on Sunday morning or Wednesday evening or whenever and bringing the message. Here again is what God's Word has to say in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Who has caused us to be a kingdom, that is a Kohanim, which means priest, for God, His Father, to Him be the glory and the rulership forever and ever. Amen. It says, we are to be priests unto God. We are to minister unto God. Now, we don't go in like the priests in the Old Testament did and offer the burnt sacrifice or the incense before the Lord or the things that the priests in the Old Testament did. But we have a service, a duty as priests unto God, as ministers unto God, as we go out and face the people in the world. We are to minister unto the Lord. And sometimes that can be just a kind word to somebody. Sometimes it could be maybe buying somebody a hamburger. And I know we all get faced with an abundance of people that are trying to get money from us. You know? Drive down the street, especially if you're driving downtown anywhere. There'll be people out who are panhandling. Some of them may go home to a better house than what you're living in at night, because it can sometimes pay off pretty good. I've read stories in Los Angeles where there were people who had a chauffeur picked them up after they finished their day of panhandling. Went well for them. And I know you have to use wisdom sometimes and judgment in who you give your money to. But there are times, maybe you're standing in line, and I've had this happen to me, standing in line at a hamburger stand, whatever kind it was, and saw somebody there that was hungry. And they're trying to get enough money to buy a hamburger. And I feel God speak to my heart. And I'd go over and I'd get him. I'd take him up to the window and say, buy whatever you want. And I'll pay for it. And you know what? I felt so good when I saw them sit down at that table. And they began to eat that hamburger. I mean, they were scarfing it down. And I thought, you know what? That may be the only meal they get today. But I've done what God spoke to my heart to do. And I've had it happen just recently, just last year, I think it was, or maybe 2 years ago now. little lady come up to me in a McDonald's one morning. "Could you help me out? I'm hungry." Took her up to the window. "Whatever you want." Ordered her meal for her. Sat there and watched her begin to eat that meal. And I thought, you know what? I've ministered today to the Lord. I've helped provide that meal for that person that didn't have a meal. Yes, I know you can get ripped off sometimes. But if God speaks to your heart to minister to that person that way, minister to that person that way. That's just some of the things that we can do as ministers unto the Lord or as priests unto the Lord, looking out for other people. Sometimes it's driving down the street, and I'll have a confession to make. I drive down a particular street in Nashville, Tennessee. Used to have drove down that street almost every day for the last couple of years, and recently it's about 3-4 times a day, but particular in the morning, just as school was, the kids were out waiting on the school buses. And I drive by, and particular area is not the best area in the city of Nashville. It's in the projects, actually. And you got to watch out because as you're driving, because people will just step out in the middle of the block, step out right in front of you. No regard for the traffic that's coming. Sometimes I feel like they want to get hit. But I drive by and I see the kids out there waiting. And I'd see this one girl out there in a wheelchair. Her father, I presume, there with her. And there are times that the bus that would come to pick her up, the school bus that would come to pick her up, would block traffic because, you know, you don't pass a school bus when the lights are flashing. We'd sit there and sit there and sit there because it took extra time to get this child on the school bus because of the wheelchair. Because they got to get the wheelchair on, then they've got to get it secured and whatever, and it takes 2 to 3 times as long. You're sitting there, and sometimes you feel like grumbling. I've got to wait. I'm on my way to work, but I got to wait while they get that kid on the school bus. I don't have to say those thoughts came to my mind. I'll be honest with you. But you know, as I drove by there, and even though I don't drive there by there at that particular time in the morning, I have a few times, God impressed me, you need to pray for that child. So now during the week, the days that I drive by that particular spot in the morning, even though they're not out there yet waiting on the school bus because I go by a little bit earlier, God has impressed me as I drive through that block in the morning. Father, I don't know that child's name, but I ask that you bless that child and bring healing into that child's body. That's being a minister unto the Lord. I'll never know what happens with that child. But God impressed me to do that for that child, to pray for them. And maybe it's just something less like that, that God speaks to your heart to pray for somebody. Be thankful that you have the health, that your family has the health that they have. And we look around, and sure, some of us have physical problems, and some of us have needs in our body. But you know what? We're still able to get up and go. We're still able to function. We're still able to do the things that we want to do. Be thankful for what you have. And sometimes there are so many people out there that are not thankful for what God has blessed them with. And the fact that you can get up in the morning and get out of bed on your own and get up and have breakfast or whatever your routine is, go to work, go to school, whatever, God has blessed you that you're able to do that. Be thankful. Revelation 5:10 says, "And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Then Revelation verse 20, verse 6 says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And you say, okay, but you're talking about the millennial reign there, that we're going to be priests and kings. You know what? But we have that duty right now too, to be priests and ministers unto the Lord. And a lot of people think, oh, it's the pastor or the church leaders that are the ministers. No, 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 no. It's every last person who has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior that is a minister, that is a priest unto the Lord. And we have these duties that God calls us to do. And our duties are varied. Just as you go back and you read in the Old Testament about the variety of duties that the priests had. You know, they didn't just all do the sacrifices. Some of them did other things and some did other things. There was a great variety of tasks that had to be taken care of, even in the wilderness tabernacle that they had to do. And that was how they ministered unto the Lord. They didn't all do the same thing. And today, as ministers and priests unto the Lord, as born again Christians, the tasks that God calls us to do will be varied. We won't have the same things that we're doing. And there are things that some of you can do that I'll never be able to do. And things that I do that you may not have the opportunity to do. Because God gives each one of us different talents and He calls us to a different area of that ministry unto Him. Back, and we still, I guess, have it to some extent. But back, and I think it started probably in the late 60s. We, I think, especially within the realm of the Pentecostal and charismatic churches, got into what I call the superstar mentality. We made superstars out of some of our ministers. Oh, so-and-so, he's so great. If he could just pray for me, I know I'd be healed. If he could personally lay his hand on my head, I'd be healed of all my afflictions. And we put it to the point that we almost worshiped them. And in some cases, I think some people did. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, they got to the point that they thought that they were so valuable to God that it didn't matter what they did because God needed them. And there was one well-known preacher who said that. I got to that point that I thought God needed me. But we got to this point. There's these superstars out there. Oh, no, there are no superstars within the body of Christ. There's only one star, and that's Jesus Christ, Amen. The Son of the living God. He is the star. But we are kings and priests unto Him. We are ministers unto Him. And He has given us a part to do. And we need to be thankful for the part that He's given us to do. Oh, you say, but I've never become a well-known whatever within the area of ministry that God has given me. So what? It doesn't matter that the world doesn't know who you are. Jesus knows who you are. Father God knows who you are. And what He knows about you and the reward that He has for you is the most important thing. It doesn't matter what the world has to say. Be thankful for the ministry that God has given you. So what if the rest of the world doesn't appreciate it? God does. And that's who we're trying to please, is God. We're trying to minister unto Him and be the type of Christian, the type of priest, the type of minister unto Him that He would have us to be. And as ministers or priests unto God, thankfulness is one of our duties to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18 says, "And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Well, that kind of goes back to one of the other verses that we just read. Ephesians 5:20 said, giving thanks always. Here it says, now in everything give thanks. So be thankful for what goes on around you. Be thankful. And I know it's tough. I have a hard time with it. I don't like it when things don't go right. But be thankful. I think I told you last year there was an incident where I was at a McDonald's and some lady with her grandkids is standing there. And it's one of my pet peeves of people that get up to the window at a fast food place. After standing in line, they still don't know what they want, so they got to stand there and read the menu for 10 minutes to make up their mind what they want to order. And this seemed like what was going on. I was being delayed, and I'm getting frustrated and all that. And finally, I get my order, and I get out of there, and I'm just off the interstate. I get back on the interstate and find out there's been a major accident. It just happened. And I suddenly became thankful that that lady had taken her time placing her order, because I could have been involved in that accident had I been on the interstate at that time. But you know what? We can be thankful for the things that we have around us, but there are some things that I think we need to be thankful for more than anything else. And here's what they are. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 through 18. By God's grace, you, who were once slaves to sin, obeyed from your heart the pattern of teaching to which you were exposed. And after you had been set free from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. We have been set free from sin. We have been set free from sin. Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, set us free from sin when we accept that work in our life. Now, let me clarify one thing here. It's more than just believing that Jesus is the Son of God. The devil knows that. He believes it. It's more than just a head knowledge of these things, which a lot of people have. It's that relationship we develop. We know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We know that He died on the cross for our sins. And we have now accepted what He did for us on the cross of Calvary, invited Him into our heart, and He is now dwelling in us. And we now have that relationship with Jesus Christ, and we need to be thankful for what He did for us. Give thanks. Because I got news for you. If He didn't do that, you know where you'd be headed right now? Well, sure wouldn't be to heaven. Be thankful that you can be saved not only from physical death, but spiritual death. Romans 5, verses 8 through 11. But God demonstrates His own love for us in that the Messiah died on our behalf while we were still sinners. Therefore, since we have now come to be considered righteous by means of His bloody sacrificial death, how much more will we be delivered through Him from the anger of God's judgment? For if we were reconciled with God through His Son's death when we were enemies, how much more will we be delivered by His life now that we are reconciled? And not only will we be delivered in the future, but we are boasting about God right now because He has acted through our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, through whom we have already received that reconciliation. We have been reconciled unto God. Go back to Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth. And the biblical account there in the first couple of chapters of Genesis. And God creates man. Puts him in this beautiful garden. Sees that man is lonely, needs a helpmate. Creates Eve. And what does the Bible say? They had fellowship with God. God didn't create human beings just to have a toy to play with here on planet Earth. He created them for a purpose, and that purpose was to have fellowship. It says He walked with them in the cool of the day. They had a personal relationship. But that day came that sin entered into their lives, and that relationship was lost. But that relationship can now be restored through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary and us accepting Him into our heart. And we can be now righteous once again. You see, we don't become righteous of what we have done or who we are. We become righteous of what because of what God has done and who He is. He's the one that brings righteousness into us. And we need to be thankful for that. Because in ourselves, we can't do it. And I don't care how good you are. I don't care how good a person you are. The Bible says you're on your way to hell if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and accept that righteousness that He is able to give you and restore to you. That's how we get right standing. Be thankful that the King of Glory, Yahweh God Himself, the Creator of the universe, looks on you as an individual and He loves you as an individual. He doesn't look down from His throne in the heavens and say, I see all those people running around down there on planet Earth just like a bunch of ants. No, He looks down and says, I see so and so. There's so-and-so. He has that personal relationship and He cares about you as that individual. Bible says He knows how many hairs you have on your head. And I know for a few of us guys here, we're keeping Him busy because we're losing Him and He's having to constantly change the count. But He knows about us. He cares about us that much that He knows that about us. It even says that He even knows when a sparrow falls, how much more He cares about us. Amen. He knows when you're going through hard times. But I also know that the Bible teaches us that it's going to be for our own benefit and our own good. And there have been times in your life that you may have gone through a hard time. And later on, and maybe you didn't understand why, but later on something happened. That the time that you went through and what you had to go through, the occasion came up when you were able to minister to somebody else because you knew what they were going through and you were able to minister to them. Say, I've been there and here's what God can do for you. God doesn't let these things happen to us just on a whim. There's a purpose. There's a reason. Be thankful. And even though it's tough, and we probably all have to battle with it, including me. I'm sure I know I do. It's tough sometimes to be thankful. But we need to work on that. Be thankful in everything. For this is the will of God concerning you. And say, God, it's tough going through this, but I am thankful that You love me so much. That You have confidence that I can handle this. Bible also says He won't put on us more than we can bear. So He's got confidence when we go through these things that we can handle it. And I know sometimes I fail. You know, sometimes I fail. And sometimes I have to go and say, God, I failed in this test miserably. Help me to do better next time. Help me. Be thankful. Even if all you got to eat is a bowl of beans, be thankful. It's easy to be thankful if you got that steak. When you got that bowl of beans, be thankful because there's some people that don't have that. Be thankful. Your car don't start. Maybe have to call the auto club or whoever to come out and get it started for you. Be thankful that you could do that. And be thankful that you got a car. There's some people that don't have a car. Some of them got to walk. And how would you like to have to walk a couple of miles in the snow like we had the other day to get somewhere? We wouldn't like that. Be thankful. God has blessed us. None of us here are the richest people on the face of the earth. And we're most of us probably far from that designation. But that's the way the world sees it. But you know what? Our riches are to be in God. It says we're to store up our riches in heaven. And be thankful that we can store up riches in heaven, which the world, the devil, whatever, cannot take away from us. You store up your riches in the bank here, and what can happen? In the stock market, for example. You got all your wealth in the stock market, and guess what? You can be poor overnight. But those riches that you store up in heaven, that's not going to happen that way. God's got them for you. And He's taking care of you. And Father, today I thank You that You love us so much. And I know, Father, as individuals that we sometimes miserably fail in what we're supposed to do. But Father, help us to be thankful. Help us as we go through various things in our daily lives and our daily walk with You. And even though we may go through some hard times, we may suffer some times that we don't really like, help us to be faithful. Help us to be thankful, Father. And Father, we just ask now that if there's anyone listening to this message today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, does not have that relationship with You, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart. And Father, convict them of their need of that relationship with Jesus Christ in their life. I thank You because today I believe that somewhere, someplace, You're going to touch a life in that way today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.